Welcome to the Mostly Pod Out at Night. Mostly, I am Graveyard, joined by my co-host, Salem.
No.
This is episode 116 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. Now, tonight's episode may be classified as the epitome of us watching bad movies, so you don't have to. So what happens when an icon, horror icon-produced movie turns into a schlock fest with caterpillar dogs, dinosaurs, and an old prospector? Join us as we open the closet at midnight, have a few cheers with familiar faces, and save the virgin with the first half of the house franchise, and determine if we truly ding-dong dished ourselves to death. It's not often that I dislike schlocky movies. As anyone that listens to this regularly or knows me personally, I tend to like really bad movies, right? Let's face it, I've subjected Salem to maybe the worst October yet.
That's not over yet.
I know. But that's right. We are doing the House franchise. There's only four of them. And we're doing House 1, came out in 1985, and House 2, that came out in 1987. Now, when I say, you know, horror icon-led, Steve Miner, Sean S. Cunningham, known for making the Friday the 13th series, and a good handful of others. To say the least, spoilers ahead, that this franchise takes a turn for the worse pretty damn fast. So, anything you want to say before we start it up?
No, go ahead.
All right, so we'll start with House from 1985. Essentially, we are introduced to Roger Cobb, who is a writer whose aunt, we see in the opening scene, you know, from a grocery store driver, hangs herself in her house. And then her nephew gets the house. He's like, you know what? I'm going to write my next novel about my time in the Vietnam War in this.
Well, his correct name is Grocery Boy.
Grocery Boy.
We know that because when he's walking through the house, he goes, "Hello, it's me, Grocery Boy." So he even refers to himself as his casting name of Grocery
Boy. There you go. We can't be bothered to give him a real name.
Well, like, I can't remember the last time I said hello and then just gave my title as if that's my name.
Oh, so you don't go, "Hello, Salem, IT specialist."
No, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'd just be like, "Hello, IT specialist."
There
like,
you
that's,
go.
As if that's my name, because that's what he does. He goes, "Hello, it's me, Grocery Boy."
Yeah. So essentially, you know, we go to the funeral, and we get some backstory that while he was spending time at his aunt's house, him and his wife and his son were there, and his son really just disappeared in the swimming pool. You know, alluded to that, you know, drowned but or taken, but just gone in general, right? And really put his marriage through a rough patch, and that's why he said he decided to stay there. And then, you know, and I say, you know, cheers are familiar faces because Norm from Cheers is in this one, and Heath, is it Heath or Cliff?
Cliff
is in the second one. So he's like, "Yeah, I'm your neighbor. That woman that lived here, she was really crazy. That's my aunt. Oh, yeah, sweet gal. Looked good for her age." So really, the Cheers comedy inserted heavily into this movie right away with his introduction.
Well, I would say this movie follows the standard 80s horror protocol till about halfway through.
Mm. I can see that.
So it's a normal amount of 80s horror movie humor up until about the halfway.
That's fair. So anyway, he's kind of going there and he's kind of reliving and thinking about, you know, his time in Vietnam. We get flashbacks throughout the movie to his time with Richard
Mall.
Yeah. And he was
Big Ben.
Yeah. We'll spoil it. He was supposed to kill him because he got shot. He's like, "I'm done. Finish me off." And he didn't want to. So he's like, "I'll haunt you." And he does. So anyway, you know, he's kind of going through the house and realizes that his aunt was like, drew something of her being terrified and opening her closet like at midnight. He didn't think anything of it. at some point in time, his instead of Billy Bass, Billy the Blue Marlin kind of goes off. He shoots it in the head and he starts to go a little bit crazy. Let's say cue Evil Dead 2 tile style of insanity going on. To the point where, you know, the neighbor's like, you know, I think he's losing it. You know, he's in this closet, in this room, and has all these cameras set up because he's concerned about what's coming out at midnight from the closet. I'd say has some, losing format of Betamax camcorders purchased.
Well, I think he has all kinds.
Yeah. And like I said, so the neighbor goes, calls his wife. Yeah, I think he's not okay. And during his bouts of insanity, she shows up and he thinks it's, turns into a bad wardrobed reject from Basket Case 2 and 3. This is the best way I can describe it. Shoots her and then turns back into his wife. Oh shit, he killed his wife. But now she comes and transforms back and forth a little bit to the creature. He's going to kind of bury her, after a cop show up and say, hey, I heard some shooting, everything's okay, cool. And then I assume another neighbor shows up, starts swimming in his pool.
Yeah, that was the lady that jogged past him earlier.
Okay.
That lived across the street.
And she's like, oh, I bet you like to play. You look like a guy who likes to play. Yeah. It shows up at his house. Here's my kid with the god-awful mullet. Watch him. I'm going to go out now. Kid kind of gets attacked a little bit in the bathroom by that severed hand of his dead wife. And he kind of takes care of that. He flushes it down the toilet because, that's how toilets work, is solid hands can go down.
They wiggle around a lot.
Yeah. So anyway, the kid kind of gets taken, but he, kind of gets him back. And, she gets picked up. And then he starts, calling his neighbor over. He's like, hey, you ever see one of these? Yeah. And so spear gun, I have this really big ass raccoon that is in my closet. It comes out at midnight. I need you here to shoot it right between the eyes. All right, cool. And when he does that, a giant puppet creature comes out of the closet at midnight and attacks him, all that jazz. He does shoot it, and he gets kind of dragged into the other side. He gets back into the Vietnam, era and reaches, Big Ben again. And it's just like, you didn't do it. I'm going to get you. Eventually, he does find his way out, and the neighbors now drank like what, an entire fifth by himself on a dirty mattress in that room. And
well, we don't know if it was an unopened.
That's true. That is true. Let's just face it, there's a lot of drinking in all these movies, like fifths all everywhere. It's like, oh man, I don't know what's going on here. I appreciate you being here. And then he realizes that his aunt's painting has his son in like the bathroom mirror, like just casually with like a drape over it. It's like, oh, I didn't look at the entire painting. Oh shit. And he finds out his bathroom mirror is a window into another dimension, I guess, the ether realm. So he goes in there and he has to fight off his, Big Ben to get save his son, who has barely been trapped there this entire time after he was taken in the swimming pool. He does some fighting. Eventually they fight and he is enabled to knock off Big Ben off of a cliff, eventually saving his son, and it comes back to the real world and everything's okay. That's about it. There's a lot more that happens, but not, I don't think anything I know.
He comes back and then zombie Big Ben attacks him in the house, and then sequence is like 15 minutes long.
Oh, yeah.
where he's fighting him all around that. He's fighting the zombie version of Big Ben all around the house until he has to kill him like 3 different times before he finally dies.
That's right. And somehow, you're right. He does kill him with a grenade, essentially.
Well, yeah. And first time he falls off a cliff and you see his body like get destroyed on the rocks below, And when he comes back in and he's just standing right there.
Yeah. So eventually, the house burns down from the grenade, and his wife and son are now okay. End of movie.
Well, yeah, the wife shows up in a cab and then sees the son and gets hit.
Right. So was it really her that he shot and killed? Was it not? I mean,
obviously not.
That was
kind of a dark part, though, where he just like shot his wife, was like, oh no, and then immediately just like hid her body.
Oh yeah.
Like didn't even like think about, hey, maybe I should like, you know, be a stand-up guy and admit what I did. No. I'm just gonna hide her body.
Yeah, she doesn't understand my PTSD I'm going through and losing her son, so I guess, oh well.
Yeah, so I'm gonna hide her body in a closet.
Yep. End of movie. I've seen this many, many, many times. Clearly I forgot the ending there briefly, but it's something that I always saw on TV, I feel like, a lot. And I never had any issues with it. Now, with the first one at least. And I feel like it's been on TV a lot. I feel like the second one's on Comedy Central a lot as well, for reasons we'll get into when we get to the second one. But it's not a horrible movie, I think, from Sean Cunningham and Steve Miner. And it's something that I do have on Laserdisc that I always watch probably, I don't know, maybe every 5 years. And it doesn't change for me anytime. But what were your first thoughts? Because this is the first time you had seen this, correct?
Right. Yeah. No, it's one of those movies that I saw the cover of this movie like a million times. Like it's kind of like a severed zombie hand, like opening up a door on the cover.
Yeah.
I've seen that since it came out, and I just never got around to watching. Nobody ever told me it was like good, you should watch it. So I just never really put it on any lists anywhere, and I never really cared. I never saw it on TV anywhere. Like, I don't remember ever seeing it on television at all.
I feel like it was like with Joe Bob Briggs.
Well, I didn't watch that. Well, I did when I was younger. But not with the house episodes, apparently. But yeah, no, I saw the Beastmaster like 10,000 times, but I never saw House ever. So yeah, I just never got around to watching it. After watching it now, I can't say that I was upset that I missed anything. I mean, it feels like a cheap PG-13 version of an 80s horror movie.
So interesting fact is House 4 is called Evil Dead 4 in other countries.
Well, it's, yeah, because when 3 is also known by different names in other countries too. It's just, it's like they have like anthologies.
Mm-hmm.
And they just like take a bunch of foreign movies that are unrelated and they put them in like an anthology, a named similar anthology, and then just put the names in there. So it's not like Evil Dead 4 as in the continuation of the Evil Dead series. It's their own Evil Dead series that are four completely unrelated movies.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But you can see, like, I think what happened was when I started watching this the first time was because of that, right? I'm like, oh shit, you know, it was the 90s, didn't really have internet. You know, maybe this is part of Evil Dead. And that's probably how I watched it the first time, quite honestly. Which makes sense for me. But, you know, now I know better that it's definitely not Evil Dead. But I probably saw it at like, Suncoast back in the day, and that's how I was used to it. But yeah, you're right, the cover always saw all the time, so definitely one of those posters that I think we discussed in like our first two episodes of stuff that we saw, that posters that we never got around to watching,
right?
So All right. Well, let's get into our highlights. I will go first. You know, with this being Sean S. Cunningham and Steve Meyer, they brought their longtime collaborator, Harry Manfredi, to do the soundtrack. So I really enjoyed the soundtrack because I think Harry does fantastic work in 80s horror. He's one of those names that you just kind of see everywhere. I do like Norm, the neighbor. I think he adds, he's the jokester to Roger's straight man, right? I think he plays it off really well. I also really enjoy the house itself. Like, I would love to have that house. It very reminiscent of like the setup to Stu Mocker's house in Scream, which I think they also use for Charm. So the house is gorgeous. I do like that. And when it's not the, I guess, folded, greasy puppet people, the other creature effects, I think, look pretty decent. Very reminiscent of, like, Ray Harryhausen, something they used, and for, like, Evil Dead, and we got Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness. So I do enjoy that overall. And it's just an interesting story. It's a possessed house, essentially an evil house with a link to another dimension. So it plays into that. Is he going crazy? Is he not going crazy? Pretty well as for me. That's about it though. What about you?
I will say I did like the paintings that the aunt made.
Mm-hmm.
They were, I don't know, kind of in that weird 80s like style.
Mm-hmm.
But also there's like, you know, interesting looking stuff. There's one of like a naked woman being like harpooned by hovercrafts in a desert. Like, it's just kind of bizarre, like just interesting paintings. I thought they were pretty cool. All the ones that they showed, I thought were cool. I'd like to see who the actual artist was, because they're pretty fun. I liked his ancient word processing computer that he had. You know, it's one of those ones that the monitor is like tiny. It's like not even 12 inches. It was like an 8-inch screen with just a giant white box underneath it.
Well, I'd say half of the monitor was like the video connection too.
Yeah. And it was in no connection I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And when he was watching TV for a second, I wrote this down and I meant to go back and look, and now I'm looking and I completely forgot to do it. But when he was watching a movie, I could have swore that the movie that he watched for like 30 seconds was that movie we saw, Don't Go in the Basement.
Oh.
Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
Because it's like a nurse coming down the stairs talking to like an old lady who's like freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that was like the nurse who was like trying to pretend like she was running the place, and that was the crazy old lady. I didn't check. If it wasn't that, it reminded me a lot of that.
You only see it for like 30 seconds. Which is funny, because I actually saw that somewhere else like this week as well. I don't remember where.
Maybe it was in House One.
Maybe. No.
I don't know, because usually like if you look at the end of the movie, it'll tell you like, you know, mm-hmm. footage of blank courtesy of, and I usually write it down to watch later. By the time I got to the end of this movie, I was so disinterested that I did not remember to do that. I usually mark it like something to look in the credits for. In the second one, I did actually look. Like in the second one, one of the cops looks exactly like Rob Lowe. And I was like, is that Rob Lowe? So I wrote it down to check it. It was not. But it looked just like him for the second that it was there. Anyway. I don't know if it was actually Don't Go in the Basement, but it looked like it was. I forgot to check. Sorry. So the other thing I thought was interesting is like he's a Vietnam vet, right? Mm-hmm. But he's not old. So this is it's 1985, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vietnam ended in what, like, you know, very early 70s.
Yes.
So like, yeah, he could be, he's like, he doesn't even have to be 40, which is like, it kind of blows my mind. Because you think about Vietnam vet now, and they're like 70 years old, you know?
That's my dad.
Yeah. So that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how old they are. That's just the way it is. But in 86, it's like they could still be young enough to be film protagonists. It's just an interesting thing to get your head around. It's like, wow, that's pretty interesting.
Well, he was also supposed to be the original Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
Before Mark Hamill got it.
I don't like his hair, so I don't think he would have made a good Luke Skywalker. But yeah, it was just interesting. But so I thought they did good effects for the closet monster. The closet monster was the actual scariest thing about this whole film. The closet monster was actually like scary looking. It had like multiple like skulls and stretched out and like jaws and teeth and, you know, like all these like tentacles and limbs and stuff. It was like a scary thing.
Oh, this is where the budget went. Yes.
Yeah, apparently. Like, I think the closet monster came from a different version of this movie. I think they made the one monster and they're like, oh, we're changing directions. Can you make all the other monsters look like cartoons? And they did. But this one, I think, like, came through first before they changed the tone. Because this one is like actually scary looking. The rest of them, like, you know, just look like goofy caricatures.
Mm-hmm.
But that one was good. Like George Wendt, who you mentioned before, Norm from Next Door. I thought he did a fantastic job. I mean,
yes,
he was, you know, mostly, you know, comic relief and mostly like, you know, sometimes he played the straight man to, you know, his, you know, I'm going crazy. Do I have PTSD or what's going on? But I thought he did a good job. I can't say that. The lead actor did a good job because I don't think that he did. I thought it was goofy. He was just plain goofy. I don't know how else to describe that, but George Wendt was a good supporting character for sure.
Yeah.
The kid had an actual Skeletor toy, which I was like, oh shit, Skeletor. And then I thought that Zombie Ben at the end was pretty good. It looked fun. I mean, obviously, you're looking at him for too long, you can see, oh, that's just gloves. Oh, that's just the suit. But I mean, like the mouth actually moved when he talked and stuff. I mean, like it was an interesting outfit. I think they showed it for a little too long. I think it took the kind of mystique away from it. But like it still looked good. I thought they did a good job. So okay, I'll roll into my low points here. Okay, so The book signing fans, like, wow, were they some creepy fucking people? Like, I was uncomfortable watching it. Because they're all getting up into the, like, super close to the camera and shit. And I was like, ay.
Well, they are a mix of 80s neckbeards and punks.
Well, the punks were cool. The punks were all right. It was, like, the Karen lady who kept, like, talking over everybody. And then it was, like, the guys that were like, yeah, what's your next book about? And they were like, I don't know.
Well, he wasn't even next in line. There's still someone in front of him.
I know. He's like talking over the guy in front of him. Like, dude, I would be fucking pissed off.
But, yeah.
Okay. So, quote unquote, Vietnam, like, looked like it was filmed on a film set with fake trees and shit. Like, they weren't even jungle foliage. It was like normal forest foliage. And it was like, you know, again, quote unquote Vietnam. And it was just like, you know, some Asian people, you know, wearing like, you know, the typical like, you know, NVA uniform. Like the gunshots were horrible. The weapons were horrible. Like everybody has bandoliers on them, even though none of them have belt fed weapons. All the bullets are made out of plastic and shit. Like it was the dumbest, cheapest looking shit I've ever seen. And I was like, why are you keep going back to this Vietnam? Like, this is, looks like shit. Just stop. Richard Mall, yeah, he's tall, but he sucks at acting. Like, wow, was he fucking bad. Like, as the zombie, he's fine. But, like, as an actual character, like, it was, like, community theater. It was, like, he's, like, B-list community theater. Like, it was bad. Like
he's like spitting in his face, clenching his jaw.
Like, dude, like, how is this fucking guy in a major movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I wrote Billy Big Mouth Swordfish on here too because it was hilarious. he shot her with a double barreled shotgun on the front porch, and there was no blood.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, there's no fucking way that he just shot her with both barrels of a shotgun, like less than 10 feet away. So like her fucking, you know, abdomen would be obliterated and spread all over the front yard. Nope, not a drop of blood. Picked her up, put her in the closet. Cops came in. No drops of blood anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very realistic. Like the fucking babysitting thing. Holy shit. It was annoying. The fucking kid was super fucking annoying, but I know it's a kid. Like, of course they're going to be annoying. That's what they are. But then like those stupid fucking puppets show up and it was like, the whole thing was annoying. The kid was like crying all fucking time. I was like, can this just end? End this part?
In fairness, he had the worst haircut. So I'd be crying.
Dude, too. It's the 80s. A lot of kids had that fucking haircut. Business in the front, party in the back.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so that was this that whole scene was just ridiculous. But really, it's like the whole last half of the movie was just like overly cheesy, just like over the top schlocky nonsense. But it feels like the first half of this movie was leading up to something interesting. Like, right. It really feels like the first half was done decently, and then the second half was just like, what if it was all a joke? And then they just ran with it. I don't understand what happened. But like the second half of the movie just falls apart for me.
Yeah.
And the ending was just too fucking sappy horse shit. Like, come on. Like the wife isn't dead. Like the fucking kid comes back. There's like nothing wrong with anybody. Everybody's totally fine. Like, what kind of fucking horror movie is this? Like, there needs to be some kind of bad ending to this. Like, somebody needs to have at least a heartbreak or something. Nothing. It was just happy horseshit at the end. It was disappointing.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. It really felt like it was a dive into PTSD, which would have been a more interesting story if they kept pulling at that thread.
It's right. That's what I said. Yeah, the first half of it was like, okay, this is going somewhere cool. And then it just, mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, I always enjoy the first half easily more. Just because it is so good. Now, like I said, the creature effects, right? Like I said, it feels like, hey, let's just get like wet bags and that will make our costumes for these creatures that these people turn into. Like, especially two of them, they're trying to pull the kid up the fucking chimney. Like, this is awful. like I said, all the effects definitely went into the closet creature, hands down. Or, as you said, maybe the puppet people, whatever, right? Were like the first special effects studio, and they just realized how shit it looks. Like, well, we already paid them. We need to actually spend money on someone that knows what they're doing for this closet monster. We're going to get them instead. All right. So, if you notice, when he has the cameras all set up, right? He has a flash camera. Not attached to anything. It's not like he's sitting there waiting to take a picture. How's he going to trip the camera? It's not motion sensor.
It's just set up for effect. Now, none of that was actually going to work, and nor did he ever review any of the footage.
No, he had like six cameras there, all different angles from the same door. You know, like I said, a camera to take pictures with. Like, that's the thing, though. He even like winds it and prepares like it took a shot. I don't know how the fuck it's supposed to just sitting there on that, you know, bench, essentially.
Right. But like the second fight that he has with that monster is totally on tape.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I mean, he should like, you know, get a shit ton of money for like, you know, capturing paranormal activity on multiple cameras at the same time.
Right.
But again, no. This movie doesn't think that far.
No. Fuck that neighbor. You know, I said, do you want to play, quote, foreplay? Get a guy hot and bothered. He's like, here's my kid. I'm like, fuck you, lady.
that's you know, women's liberation, man. They can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And like, I don't, like, honestly, who, like, she doesn't know this guy. and I'm just leaving you like, what, my 2 or 3 year old kid there with you? See ya.
Okay. This is 1985, sir.
I know.
I don't. Are you sure?
Yes, in 1985,
my mom would open up the front door. It's nice outside. I don't want to see you back until the streetlights come on. She didn't fucking know where I was. She didn't give a shit where I was. Go out and fucking do something. Leave me alone. Give me some fucking peace. Go play with other people. Like, they didn't give a shit where you were, what you were doing, as long as you weren't there bothering. That's how it was.
I mean, I was one, so it's entirely possible that my parents dropped me off at some random people's houses. I'm just saying,
dude, there's a lot of times I was at people's houses. I didn't know who the fuck they were. There's a lot of times my mom was just like, go out and play. And I would, like, go blocks and blocks and blocks away. You know, like, there was supposedly rules of, like, don't cross any busy streets. But, like, I mean, we always did.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, like, we would go miles away. You know, because you got a bike.
Yep.
Right? You could go miles away. They don't know where you are. It doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah.
Like, now it's a different story. Like, a child goes to a park by themselves, people will call the fucking police.
Yeah.
And the police will show up and go, oh, my God, an unattended child, and, like, put the parent in jail.
Well, it's because of, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
I'm just saying. It's only been, what, well, 40 years, right? Yeah. So in 40 years, it's gone from children being able to be free and do what they want during the day to, like, literally the police being called if a child is unattended.
CPS being called, yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, I think that's what I'd say. I would really like to see the differences, like, you know, including the population increases of, like, the numbers between, like, kidnappings and all these bad things happening. Like, is it any more likely to happen today than it is before?
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it is. I don't think that margin is significant enough for people to be this insane about like, being this protective of their children. I think it's bad for kids. I think that's a lot of what's wrong with this newer generation is that they're too coddled.
Well, because now, like,
they don't have any freedom. No one, they can't do anything by themselves.
Right. Now we have to tell them to go touch grass.
Right. Yeah. It's like they don't understand, like, what it, like, you know, I have siblings that, like, are, you know, considerably younger than me that don't understand the concept of, like, figure it out.
Right.
You know, like, oh, I don't know how to fix that. Okay. Neither do I. Figure it out. You know what I mean? Oh, you got a broken wall? Like, buy some shit and figure it out. You know, like, you got YouTube. That's more than I had.
We had nothing.
Right. It's like I would have to go to the library and look for, like, a Time Life book, like, doing drywall, you know what I mean? And then I'd have to, like, photocopy the pages and bring them home. Like, that's how I would have to learn stuff. Like, you guys got it much easier. 5 cents
a copy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, you guys got it much easier and you do less. I don't get it. I don't know. That's my old man rant. I'm done.
It's all good. All right. Those are all my low points. So our outs for this one is, I'm saying, number of bad puppets, because my God, there's bad puppets in both.
Yeah, there's a lot of puppets.
I will go first. Like I said, this, I don't know if I call this a classic horror movie. I don't think it's one many people talk about, and for obvious reasons, right? But I will still watch this. I have no problems really with this one. So I will go ahead and give this 6.5 bad puppets out of 10. How about you?
I mean, it's not a good movie. I don't want to watch it again, but there is some interesting stuff here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the PTSD aspect, the kind of Vietnam aspect is not, it's visited in a way that's not commonly visited. And it's, I mean, and that's interesting enough. I mean, there are some fun things happening. It just, again, that second half, it just falls apart. The points that it gets from the first half of the film, and I will give it 5 bad puppets out of 10.
That's perfectly fair. Yeah, you talk about movies and you get remade. Let's remake House and do it well.
Let's remake House as a rated R. Like, current modern rated R, like, remake.
Oh, yeah. And we'll set it in, like, the, 2003 war. You know, that's where the guy is from, right? We'll just do that. All right. So, Salem, take us through House 2, the second story.
Okay. House 2, the second story. I wanna preface this. I just want to explain what I think this movie is.
Mm-hmm.
It is, if you take a horror concept, right? And the person takes that horror concept and then tries to make the never-ending story with that horror concept, is I feel what happened to this film. I don't know exactly what the fuck happened. Like, I don't know what these people were smoking or drinking or injecting. I don't understand, but I will try to get through it as much as I can here. So, we open up with a screaming fucking baby, which is my favorite fucking thing to open up with. Screaming fucking baby. Mom and dad are like in this like Aztec tomb looking house. And they're like, come on, come on, come on, we gotta go. So they're like trying to go, and then like essentially a cowboy ghost appears and goes, give me the skull. And he's like, I don't have a skull. Bang. Ghost shoots him dead.
Yep.
So then we cut to a guy that apparently he says he doesn't have any family. I don't know why it took him this long to go back to that house. Like, I don't know. Maybe it was in a trust.
Well, like 25, I'd say about 25 years, I think they said.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was in like a trust and he had to wait that long. I don't know. I have no idea what that happens in this story where he has to wait 25 years to go back to this house, which is his apparently. They don't explain it. It just happens. He just shows up. He goes to this house with his girlfriend, or sorry, his fiance. And they're like, okay, we're going to live here now. And they go in the same Aztec tomb house. They're like, yeah, we're going to live here. And it seems like a kind of normal opening for a horror movie. You know, he like opens up like a photo album and he's like, oh, look, this must be my great, great grandfather. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, that's so interesting. And then all, you know, kind of schlocky cheesiness, you know, breaks in with his friend, Charlie. I don't know what their relationship is. I thought they were brothers at first, but then like later on they explicitly said they weren't related.
Right.
So I believe it's just his friend. I'm sorry, his friend Charlie shows up drunk in the middle of the night, and like literally he comes in just with like a whirlwind of the cheesiest goofy 80s shit you can possibly think of, right? Blasting shitty 80s music. Like, let's party all the time. It's like, it's bad. So he comes in, immediately raises the schlocky level of the movie. But anyway, he comes in and they immediately start talking about, oh yeah, this, you know, my great, great grandpa was here. You know, I was looking at this book and you know, this crystal skull that my grandpa supposedly found and he gave to this museum, but like, if you look at this picture, this skull's got jewels in its eyes, and the one he gave to the museum doesn't. So he's like, I think he might have buried himself with it.
Logical conclusions.
So him and Charlie decide to go and dig his grave up. So they, I don't know if the graveyard is on their property. I'm guessing it is.
Yes.
Yeah, but anyway,
he comes out of the graves like, my house.
Yeah. So they go back there, they dig up the grave. His great-grandfather is a mummy that comes alive from the grave. You know, tries to kill him at first, then he introduces himself as his great-great-grandson, and then they're like best buddies. Gramps, as he starts being called, is like upset that he's not young, but is still alive, and somehow has a lot of knowledge about the mother world that he somehow learned through, I don't know, dirt osmosis when he was buried back there. I don't know how he learned all that shit, but he
learned a lot. This TV's got all the stations, but nothing good on.
Right, yeah, like, this is a guy that's from, like, the 1880s, somehow knows how TVs work and that nothing's on television. Like, literally anything he puts on should be brand new to him.
Yes.
Anyway, so yeah, that's that. There's a weird subplot where Charlie's girlfriend is a singer and I don't even remember the lead dude's name. Jesse. Jesse's is the lead guy. His girlfriend is a record producer.
Well, and with Bill Maher, yes, that's true.
Well, yeah, Bill Maher is her boss. Yeah. So she plays her music. The record producer lady goes, "This is great. Let's get you signed." And then they leave the film for like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They're just gone. Mm-hmm. And so we have like the wacky adventures of Jesse and Charlie and Gramps, right? They're just like doing all kinds of goofy fucking shit, like learning about, you know, he's telling them old stories about his old partner, Slim Razor, who, you know, tried to get the skull his whole life, but never managed to. And then he had to kill him because he tried to steal the skull, blah, 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 whatever. So then all of a sudden they're like, "Oh, do you hear that? What's that? I hear something." They go upstairs and there's a full blown Halloween party going on.
I had a party invited everybody.
Yeah, I forgot I invited people over for Halloween.
Like, wow. Okay. You didn't hear them? How do you not hear a party? Like, how do these people let themselves in? I don't get the concept. Anyway.
Well, they let themselves in with food, alcohol, music.
Decorations. There's decorations all over the place. Everybody's wearing a costume. Like, it was like, I don't know. Somebody must have planned the party. I don't know who it was. So they're all having a good old time. Gramps comes up and is like trying to hit on some lady. And they're all, he's like, "Oh no, they're going to see him." He's like, "It's Halloween, you know, look, pretend like he's in costume. It's fine." So they're all partying down. And then, a guy who is credited as Arnold the Barbarian,
mm-hmm,
played by the same actor who played Buzzsaw in The Running Man. he comes in. He's just like this giant muscle-bound guy. He comes in. He grabs the crystal skull, and he goes back into the bedroom, which then becomes a portal into a jungle land,
where humans and dinosaurs coexist.
Right. Grandpa specifically says he's from the Stone Age.
Mm-hmm.
You go through it. Yeah. Again, dinosaurs and humans are living side by side here. Mm-hmm. And somehow Arnold the Barbarian has a mass produced knife. It is very clearly a knife that has been made in a factory. Well, I don't know.
He's evil. So you get your own sword, you become evil.
Yes. So they go in there. They go to fight him. Obviously, he beats them. But then like a giant rat creature eats him. And then they're like, "Oh, look, the skull's right here." And then it gets grabbed by a pterodactyl. They have to climb a big like tree to get the pterodactyl. A baby pterodactyl hatches out of an egg, grabs the skull and won't let go.
Mm-hmm.
So after they chase the baby pterodactyl, they chase it back to their Halloween party house, and then like wackiness ensues with the baby fucking pterodactyl like running all over the house with the fucking skull in its mouth. Okay, so then at that point, the girlfriends and Bill Maher entered the film, and Bill Maher is now the record producer girlfriend's boss, who's there to like, I don't know, sign her, I guess. And I guess that's what he's there for. So they're all at the party. Like for some reason, one of Jesse's ex-girlfriends shows up and starts trying to make out with them. Like Bill Maher instantly sees this and does everything in his power to try to make sure that his girlfriend sees this happen.
Right, so she can leave with him.
Right, yeah, so she can leave with him. Anyway, that kind of culminates into they're in the kitchen when Gramps is there. He tries to hide Gramps in the closet, and they like he basically tells him the whole story. Like, there's no, my ex-girlfriend is not in the closet. It's Gramps, and he's a mummy, and they you know, going on and on about the skull and stuff. And he opens up the closet, and it's his ex-girlfriend.
Rochelle.
Wah, wah. You know, like, wow, that's so hilarious. And it turns out there was like a secret room back there, which is not referenced or used in any way. It was just there for that stupid fucking joke. That was the whole reason it was there. So like she gets all upset and they leave the entire film. Mm-hmm. They just don't come back. Bill Maher and the two girlfriends are just gone.
Poor Maid Marian.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I don't know what the fuck the point of any of that was. I don't get it. And then Charlie is now like, yeah, we're free. Now we can party all we want. So then they like finish partying that night. And then at some point in the night, when they came back with the baby pterodactyl, they also brought back what I can only describe as a dogapillar.
Yep.
It's a caterpillar, a green caterpillar with like a dog head. And it's just there to be cute and bark. That's all it does. So anyway, so Gramps is all like, oh, you know, oh, the skull is back. I'm all good now. Like, whatever. So then as they like party and pass out, then like Aztec people come into the house and steal the skull and escape into the fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
They wake up and they go, oh no, Gramps is losing his energy again because the skull is gone. We have to go find it. So they can't figure out a way into the fireplace to like, you know, to get back. So fucking Cliff from Cheers, Ratzenberger shows up as an electrician. Is like, oh, let me fix your electricity. Rips all the wires out of the walls. Oh, look at this. I found a portal to another world. Oh, and by the way, I'm also an adventurer. And he pulls a sword out of his toolbox. And they all grab swords from somewhere. And they all go into this alternate dimension hole in the wall to this, like, Aztec sacrificial pyramid. Where they're going to sacrifice some random Aztec girl to the crystal skull. Okay. Sure. Did she tell you that?
Charlie makes a comment. That's a virgin. I've never had one of those.
How the fuck would he know? You can't tell by looking at someone. He doesn't speak fucking Aztec. He
doesn't. You don't understand Charlie's knowledge, okay?
I'm pretty sure I do, and it's nothing. Anyway, so they save the girl. They all, like, literally, it's like swashbuckling pirate music is fucking playing. Like, it's like, this is nothing but an adventure film. Like, there's nothing horrible about like stuff going on. Anyway, they rescue the girl, they get the skull back. They're like, you know, literally like swinging from, it's like a fucking Errol Flynn movie.
Yeah.
He's like swinging around on ropes and like, ha ha, like literally like fighting with the sword and shit. I'm like, this, what the fuck is this movie? So they all escape. Everybody's fine. Now they have an Aztec, you know, virgin girl with them. Fantastic. So then they all sit down to have a nice sit down dinner. So it's Gramps, Jesse, Charlie, the Aztec virgin girl, the baby pterodactyl, and the fucking dogapillar. They all have their own places set at the table. And they all make this big grand dinner, like, oh, we're going to live like a big happy family. And he puts the the turkey whatever dome on the fucking table, and he opens it up, and who comes out of the turkey but good old Slim Razor, the cowboy ghost that killed his parents, Jesse's parents, at the beginning of the film.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so spooky crazy. So then they're like, big gunfight happens. Seemingly everybody else disappears.
Yes.
Very quickly, Charlie, the Aztec girl, dogapillar, and the baby pterodactyl are nowhere to be found. Gramps gets shot once and is literally laying on the floor for the entire rest of the film, even though he's a fucking mummy that's supposed to be like immortal or whatever.
Jesse, I'm not gonna make it.
Yeah, so now Jesse and Slim Razor like have like literally like somehow they've warped to like the fucking OK Corral and have like a shootout in the street, and then they fall back in the house, and then Jesse finds a fucking Winchester, and then he's like shooting the mirrors because Slim Razor's like transporting between like dimensions and mirror. I don't know what the fuck is going on. He fucking blows him up. The cops show up. There's like a big shootout with the fucking cops where the cops shoot Slim Razor, but he still doesn't die. And then Jesse has to like shoot him and like completely obliterate his head with multiple shots to kill him. He still doesn't die, and then there's another shootout with the cops where the cops shoot all through Slim Razor again, and then he finally fucking dies. And then they get this skull back, and then everybody's fine.
Yes.
End of film.
Mm-hmm.
So
what were your first thoughts on this movie? Because I know you haven't seen this one
either. Dude, I was trying to figure out, what the fuck is this movie? Like, what is this? It's a sequel to a, like, kind of comedy horror that tried to be a little serious at times. Mm-hmm. Right, and then gave up and became schlocky towards the end. But this thing is just a schlocky cheese garbage fest from fucking line one. It's, again, like I said, it's like you take a horror concept of like the haunted house with like alternate dimensions and things coming out. Like that could have been a decent horror film, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like you literally, they tried to make the never ending story. Like it's all like PG-13. No one is in any real danger. No one is ever really hurt or anything. You know, the only people that get shot are undead people. You know what I mean? Like, nothing of any consequence really happens. The stakes are, like, zero. It's just a bizarre, bizarre movie. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know who it was made for. It's all over the place. And I don't understand why this is House 2. I mean, it has no direct connection to the first one in any way. I guess they're trying to make an anthology of some sort, but at this time, after the failure of Halloween 3, you would think that they would understand, don't do that, right? But
you would think so, yes.
That they did it anyway, and I guess this is the result. I don't know. I'm not upset I didn't see it before.
What? That's surprising. Yeah, I mean, this is easy why I stopped after watching the first one. Realistically, you know, it's not good. There's no two ways about it. You know, I couldn't tell you the first time I saw it. It was probably once again. I think it was probably on like Monster Vision or Late Night with Joe Bob Briggs that I probably saw it for the first time. And I'm just like, this movie is not good. It wasn't good then. It's not good now. I don't know if it will ever be good.
I don't think it's going to get better.
No. So, but yeah, listen, I'm not disappointed. I always skip this one.
I mean, I got a friend of mine who loves this movie.
Really?
Yes. So there are the people in this world that love this film.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's not me though.
No. No, not at all. So do you want to start with your highlights then?
Sure. Right. Okay, so a ghost cowboy with a gun is fairly rare. A ghost cowboy that kills people with his ghost gun. It's even more rare. And that's interesting. And he actually kills his parents in the beginning of the movie. They're dead with his ghost gun. So that was, that's fun. I mean, the house design was pretty cool. I mean, it's like, it literally looks like an Aztec tomb. You know, you'd think if you're trying to hide like an Aztec, you know, like sacred treasure, you wouldn't like make your house look like an Aztec temple so that they could, you know, people would try to hide it or whatever. Again, Bill Maher being in this movie is hilarious to me.
Yes.
But yeah, and he just plays like a big asshole. Like he has like no funny lines. He's just he's like your typical 80s jerk. He's wearing like the, you know, the goofy baggy like suit coat and everything. I mean, he's playing like a typical 80s villain in this movie. It's,
hell yeah, he is.
It's something. I mean, yeah, like Ratzenberger showing up. I'm gonna guess they were probably trying for Cheers actors. You know, like I don't know if House 3 is gonna have like Kirstie Alley, or Shelley Long, or
Ted Danson.
Yeah, exactly. Like I was like, what are they gonna have one in each one of these? I think they probably gave them that. But maybe we'll see one. I don't know. I haven't seen it. Okay, the dog appeller. It was cute. The baby pterodactyl was annoying as shit. Like that, I hated that fucking thing.
It was a precursor to, I'd say, dinosaurs.
Yeah, but the Dogapillar was adorable. I will give it that. And I did like some of the stop motion effects that they had. Like Slim Razor's horse was like a kind of a zombie horse that they did stop motion with. They did like the zombies. They did like stop motion stuff with the dinosaurs. You know, like mm-hmm. I mean, they did some interesting stop motion work in there. And I like stop motion, so that was stuff. That's all I got.
All right. Yes. Build electrician / adventurer. Fantastic. I think he, for the little he was in, he easily the best part of the entire movie.
Well, I think he knew what movie he was in.
Oh, yes.
I don't think anybody else fucking knew what movie they were in.
Correct. He was just having fun with it. And I think it shows. So I did appreciate him for that. Rochelle, she's cool.
Wow. Why Rochelle? She was a drunk ex that showed up deliberately trying to steal somebody away from his live-in fiance.
Perfect.
Okay.
It's just, you know, we had Lisa from Friday. She was the psychic in Friday the 13th, the girlfriend. So, I mean, like I said, there was, once again, horror people in this that you just go, okay, they're here. Why are they here, right? But. Yeah, I mean, of all the effects, I'd say the only good one that, of creature-wise, was probably the Dogapillar.
I mean, I don't know about the effect. The effect was not all that great. It's just like a little wiggling, you know, glow worm with a dog head on it, right? But it's like, but it was, I don't know, it was cute.
I mean, if you want to describe this person, this movie to a person that doesn't see it, just go Dogapillar. Yeah. That'd probably be intrigue them enough to watch it.
Dogapillar, it's green, as in like, picture like a traditional green caterpillar body. Mm-hmm. With like, a dog head, and it barks like a puppy.
Yes, it does. Once again, I like the house. I'd have that house.
You want an Aztec tomb house?
Hell yeah, I do. Don't you?
Sure. I mean, why not? That house had a huge living room, so.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's all I got for my highlights. I'll roll into my low points of definitely not a horror movie.
No, it really isn't. It's like an adventure movie. It's like, yeah, it's really like in the vein of like, I don't even want to say Indiana Jones. It's like a lighter Indiana Jones. It's like a schlocky Indiana Jones.
It's Land of the Lost.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, mix Indiana Jones and Land of the Lost together, and that's what you get.
Yeah, yeah. So I had that, like, feels like Land of the Lost. obviously, just a big disappointing sigh overall. Just, it makes you roll your eyes, like, almost every scene. Something in there.
Right.
Dinosaurs and people living together. I mean, who knows? Maybe this guy, clearly with his manufactured sword and living with dinosaurs, he has a time machine, clearly.
Or maybe he's just a fundamentalist, you know, religious person who believes that they live side by side, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. There are people out there that believe that.
I mean, yes, you're correct on that. Yeah, I wrote down, like, what the fuck is this thing trying to be? I don't know if it knows what it's trying to be.
It really doesn't, because it's like a sequel to a horror film,
mm-hmm.
that has like no horror elements in it, and it is like literally like, I mean, like PG rated.
Yes,
like, I mean, there's like, I don't know if it's actually rated PG. I'm just saying, like, everything in it is like PG rated. There's no like nudity. There's no blood. There's no correct death. There's no nothing. It's just like wacky adventures.
Literally. Yeah.
That's what the film is. It's like, it's bizarre. It's not, yeah, definitely not a horror.
Yeah. Obviously the ending, like what? Okay. So essentially he's told that the skull gets him whatever his wish is. Is his wish to fucking live back in the Western times? Cause that's where he ends up with the Virgin and his best friend. Like, is it, like, I just don't understand what the ending's trying to be.
I don't know. I just think it's funny that they both have like girlfriends and they're like mm-hmm. barely in the film. And then like when the big thing happens and they all leave, they like really don't care.
Correct.
Like Charlie, he never has any kind of issue with his girlfriend. He just doesn't give a shit. He's like, whatever. Yeah, I helped you get a record deal and whatever, but I don't care. Please don't talk to me.
Yeah, it's fucking Maid Marian.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really wrote down, what the fuck is that ending? So, how about you?
Okay, I'm going to complain about that fucking baby crying. Holy shit, dude. It felt like it was like 5 minutes. I'm like, yes. Is this necessary? Is this really necessary? Why does a baby need to be crying the entire scene? Like, show the baby crying. I get it. Like, we understand there's a baby there. We don't need to hear it the entire time. It's not like sonar. But yeah, that was annoying. As soon as Charlie showed up, it was just nonstop cheese after that. Like, the first, like, 2 minutes before Charlie gets there was like, oh, this is like the standard intro to a haunted house movie. Nope.
Yeah. He could have easily been played by Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Like, I know we talked about it, but like, I don't understand the thought process of like, let's go dig up my family grave. Like, what? No one does that. No one ever.
Grandpa's like, I've been waiting 70 years for Saul.
Why don't you leave a fucking note? You know, why don't you say, hey, why didn't somebody dig me up in 100 years or whatever? Like, nothing. I mean, holy shit, the acting in this movie is fucking terrible. It is like painful. It's like physically painful to listen to. It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we already talked about the inaccurate time travel. Yeah, like I said, yeah, Gramps knows all kinds of shit about the present. The only thing he like didn't know was how to drive a stick.
But he got a hold of it pretty damn fast.
Yeah, no, he learned right away. He knew automatic and he understood the concept of manual and then just had to like finally learn, you know, do it on purpose. That's what I got. Everything else he was completely comfortable and normal with. Sure, Gramps.
Uh-huh.
Got it. Yeah, like we said, dinosaurs, the plainly manufactured knife. I mean, the dinosaur effects, the ones that weren't stop motion were like, I don't know what the fuck that rat thing was. It looked like a lump of fucking oatmeal or something. It was not very well done. But it felt so long watching this movie. Like, I was watching and I was like, it had to have been like 2 hours. It has to be 2 hours. How long is this movie? And I checked it. It was like, it wasn't even an hour.
Like, my God.
Yeah, I was like, this thing just never ends. And yeah, it's like, what happened to the horror in this film? and what the fuck is this Wild West bullshit?
Yeah,
that's it.
All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and go first for how many bad puppets out of 10 do you give this
movie? This one, yeah. I mean, it's definitely worse than the first one.
Hands down.
Yeah. There's some interesting things and fun things in this. It just gets drowned out by all the nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's enough like fun kind of interesting things here to give it a couple points. But not much. We'll do 3.5 bad puppets out of 10.
Yeah. Once again, these movies need to get remade through a different lens, different perspective. Fucking R-rated horror movie, please.
This one, like the first one felt like PG-13.
Yeah.
This one feels like PG.
Yes. I'm going down to a 4 bad puppets out of 10 for this one. This is said, I would normally stop the franchise at this point in time. So, before I got to this one.
Like I said, I was looking up the next ones. I'm like, oh my God, how much worse can it possibly get? But the next one looks like it's not in the same vein at all. It doesn't even look like it has a house in it.
No.
So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. It's got Lance Hendrickson and the one of the replicants from Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. That's what I got.
Yes. Anything else to add before we close out?
Nope.
All right. So our October Spectacular continues next episode with the last House franchise episode. Thankfully. Will the franchise return to horror with the likes of Lance Hendrickson joining and a slight name change? Will Roger coming back with the fourth one set in the 90s redeem itself? Or will Graveyard in Salem continue or come close to alcohol poisoning from these terrible movies? Yeah, these are good definitions of we watch bad movies, so you don't have to. God, it's rare for me to feel bad doing an episode.
I said these have been getting worse and worse as we're going along. So.
Well, this is why we have the November cleanse.
Yeah.
So we'll see you next time. Remember, this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.